This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is Jensen Lewis, our closer back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, we have activity here at Circa early in the morning in Las Vegas. We don't know exactly what's going on here, Jensen, but we have activity this early, 4 o'clock local time here on the Pacific Coast. I'm wondering if people are already starting with their proxy services, getting ready for football contests. So you see, it's a live shot, people back in the East Coast, if you're watching, certainly on your VSiN Watch app. Jensen, it's kind of cool because normally it's kind of sedated this early in the morning, but it feels like something's popping off. So we'll keep you updated, Jensen. But I'm guessing it's football related since you know how we work in this country. We all cannot wait for football season here in a couple months.
I have to get out there. Michelle and I were just talking about some time that we will be able to come west there, and looking forward to it. Obviously, we'll have to do it here before the end of August. So it'll be here before you know it, my man. Cannot wait to get it all broken down here. Training camps in just a matter of weeks. So it's upon us, man. Halfway home, and the best season is upon us here in the coming months.
And to that end, by the way, in 6 short days, we'll turn the page to the month of July, if you can believe that. Already half of the year is going to be gone. And that means that our betting guide is going to be coming out. So later on this hour, Matt Eumanns is going to join us here at the bottom half of hour number one. And Matt's also got an AFC West preview that he's working on for the betting guide. So Jensen will pick Matt's brain about that, and then some. I'm sure we'll sneak in a little golf talk with what we saw with Tommy Fleetwood and some other plays. He had Captain America Keegan Bradley. Torpedo Bat Tuesday resumes, and I already see what you did there with the bombs away. Not bombs, but bombs away. So we'll get to that in hour number two. CJ Nikowski, kind enough to stop by. Braves TV analyst. I know him from your playing days as well, Jensen. So it'd be great to have CJ in the program. And yeah, you see that Atlanta Braves TV analyst. We talked about the Braves. We'll talk more about them after what happened yesterday in Queens. And Ricardo Lamas. Nickname is the Bully, Jensen. But as I like to say, a really nice guy. As long as you're not stepping into an octagon with him, he'll be here a couple of fights in his weight class on that main, his former weight class at 145. Ricardo, one of the best in the biz. It's going to be great to catch up with him. And the last guy to beat DuBronx, Charles Oliveira, at 145. Of course, Oliveira now up at 155, going for that belt against Ilya Topuria. But without further ado, let's get to it. Highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Meet the Mess. Our group text went dark yesterday. That's when you know we're really starting to fight it a little bit, Jensen. Braves come to town. Acuna goes yard. We talked about it yesterday. It felt like 35-1 was a spot to hop in for MVP for Acuna. Maybe not a bad time. Did you see the celebrations that Ronald did around the bases? Look, you're a former big leaguer. I've talked to Danny Graves about this, of course, all-time saves leader for the Cincinnati Reds. And his mind is, you can do whatever you want when you hit a bomb. What do you make of the Braves? 4 straight wins against the Metropolitans. I know they're 10.5 back of the Phillies right now. But Acuna feels like he's heating up. I know they lost Chris Sale. They got some mojo going down there in the ATL, and they brought it to New York City yesterday.
Yeah, as far as the celebrations go, back in my day, Dave, that would get you an ear hole right there doing that. If it was not a game-winning home run, game-tying home run late in the game. Okay, so first and foremost, we said it yesterday, it bears repeating, and we'll talk with CJ Nikowski coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern hour about it. First thing you got to do is get to 500, right? Mm-hmm. 36-41, the Braves are. Got to get back to have your head above water. Even where they are right now, Dave, just 6 games out of a postseason spot. And so I think that also is something when you come to the ballpark every day, you feel like you're playing better. You talked about it, winners of 4 straight, 7 of their last 10. Now just putting series wins together, right? Mm. Still a long way to go. You're almost halfway through the marathon, so plenty of mileage left to cover. But you had to get healthy. You needed your stars to be stars. And right now, Ronald Acuna Jr. off the IL playing like an MVP candidate, no question about it.
396, 9 bombs in just 28 games this season. By the way, you can still get those 35-1s out there. in the MVP market. And I know Shohei minus $5. PCA has been fantastic, 6-1. You know, Pete Alonso at 30-1. Kyle Tucker, same price. But if the Braves get it going, he keeps going at this torrid pace right now, I do think Acuna will be a factor. Can he get it all the way home? I'm not sure, but you might find some value in that number if you think the Braves can keep this thing going. And I will say this, on the flip side, and we'll break it down later, and I'm sure in Daily Diamond and beyond, and with CJ, you know, the Mets have lost 9-10, and it's going to be Shoma Naya coming off the injury list today to get the start for the Mets. Is that enough to ail what cures the Mets with 9 out of 10 in a row they've lost?
I think more so it's just looking at, you know, where they are from an offensive execution standpoint. You obviously have those pitching issues in the back end of the bullpen. That to me is also something outside of Edwin Diaz. You know, that's probably where you've had some trouble here. Honestly, overall, outside of Blackburn, who pitched yesterday, you know, Peterson has been really, really good for them. Clay Holmes, as we've talked about, can he do it for an entirety of a season transitioning from a reliever to a starter? Griffin Canning kind of fallen on some hard times here the last couple of weeks. But as you mentioned, can the reinforcements here with Manaea, eventually Frankie Montas, who's had one of the worst minor league rehab stints, I think I've seen in a while for a pitcher. All that being said, again, primary thing is to make sure that you're healthy in those minor league starts and that your stuff is right. You'd like to see some results and say, oh, okay, you know, he's back there. But, buddy, as we look at it, three more against the Braves, then you go to Pittsburgh. And I think at the moment, you're going to miss Paul Skeens, which is good. And then you come back home against Milwaukee, who is, you know, playing really good baseball. And you're probably going to get Jacob Mizorowski at one point. So all that being said, long way to go here, but they got to be able to get back into the bullpen and some of that situational execution, especially from the bottom of the lineup in tow.
Yeah, I think these are the problems that Met fans foresaw at the beginning of the year that didn't manifest themselves. They look great out of the gate, right? And then this, I think, is the worry here, is that maybe you got a bunch of number twos. How many true aces do you have? Is Senga an ace? I think he is. Peterson's maybe a sub ace, but maybe you need one more of those guys instead of a lot of really good depth that you have. Speaking of depth, how about this move with the Boston Celtics yesterday? Drew Holiday, they traded him as they kind of begin their roster reconstruction here. And I wonder the tentacles here of the Achilles here for Tatum and what Boston really looks like next year as they deal him to Portland. Now, they do get back Anthony Simons in this deal, and the young player from Portland coming over, he did average almost 19 points per game last year, and they also give up a pair of second-round picks. Does this signal to you? I don't want to say, like, we'll figure out what Anthony's going to be in Boston, and that part is intriguing if you're a Celtic fan today, but, you know, Drew, I thought, was one of those glue guys, and if you don't need the glue this year, if you're worried that this isn't going to be your year with the injury to Tatum, is this why you make a move like this?
It could. Again, their number hasn't changed. 16-1 to win it all next year. And right now, 5-1 to win the Eastern Conference. And I think overall, you know, Derek White obviously is going to be there in the backcourt. Anthony Simons now slots in with him as well. But I think you also have to protect against any further issues. That you need depth. You need options that are going to allow continuity, not only in your starting five, but allow, you know, those role players that come in behind. You think of the Peyton Pritchards and, you know, the Sam Hauser down there in the front court here without Jason Tatum for what we think is at least the majority of this upcoming regular season. So still a lot to do here in the offseason. We mentioned it's going to be kind of hectic here from the Eastern Conference dynamics. Once we find out where, and I think you and I agree, it's a matter of time before Giannis is out of Milwaukee. If he goes to an Eastern Conference team, what is the domino effect for the rest of these potential contenders?
You know, it is an interesting number for the Celtics at 5-1 to win the East next year. And again, we don't know about Tatum's. I think you're kind of blindly betting on a timeline that he's going to be back for the postseason. But we would have to make sure you at least get to the postseason with guys that are not named Jason Tatum, right? So, like, is Jaylen Brown, is Simons, the role players that you mentioned, are they good enough to be able to do that, to find any value in that number? Like, Jensen, to me, I don't see it. Again, we had a great conversation with Will Hill yesterday. I know he kind of floated out the Sixers. I think I'd rather play this. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'd rather play the Sixers at 12-1 than I would the Celtics at 5-1, knowing at least that you think your big man's going to, if he can play, and that's always the problem here when you're talking about Philadelphia and Joel Embiid, but without really knowing the injury situation here of Tatum, and then you make an interesting move like this, doesn't really move the numbers, as you mentioned, Jensen, but certainly something is going on, a shift there in Boston, at least the mentality. I think I'd rather play some of the longer numbers than the shorter numbers on the unknown version of the Celtics.
Yeah, and again, you know, I was reading a little bit this morning on Bill Ade's email. I know that Mike Somich had given out potentially the Pistons at 16-1 to win the East, kind of parlaying off our conversation yesterday about Cade Cunningham in the MVP market here. So, again, I still think tectonic plates moving as we go here. And again, bias aside, love to see my Cavaliers are installed as the favorite in the East, but I don't even think I can get on board with that just yet, knowing the face plant that they had with the roster that was constructed for them in this past postseason. So, as you look at the odds overall to win it, I think you and I also in agreement, the Thunder even down to plus 225 at this point. Like, come on. I mean, it's just an unbettable number. The Rockets, same way at plus 750. I can't do that. And yeah, the Knicks, even without a head coach, and I'm sure a lot of public money here just already, like, okay, you know, the roster is there and it doesn't matter who coaches. I still think we got some double-digit numbers here that feel a lot more appetizing than the single ones at this point.
Ah, who needs a coach? Overrated. Just fire him. Fire Tibbs. We'll go a coach with no name right now in New York. Absolutely bizarre what the Knicks are trying to accomplish. All right, when we come back, much more to get to, but we will get to the Daily Diamond early today here on a Tuesday because we have a jam-packed show. So come on back, talking some baseball next here. It's VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Well, we are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Tuesday edition. We're going to have Matt Youmans join us here in the next segment. Certainly going to talk more about the NFL and that betting guide that's coming out next week. Also recap what we saw in the NBA. Now that is done, and the last elevated event in the PGA Tour is coming on, and boy, there was some excitement there last week in Connecticut. They move on to Detroit and the Rocket Mortgage. We'll break that down later on in the program. But Jensen, it's a Tuesday. It's time for today's Daily Diamond. Not everybody was in action yesterday in Major League Baseball. And maybe that rest, a little R&R, Jensen, that's good to kind of get back into the swing of things on a Tuesday.
Day off always does a body good for us. We always enjoy our weekends here. But in baseball, day off could feel like a weekend. The numbers bear that out, too, with a couple of the matchups that we have with a fully loaded slate today. Let's start in the Motor City here, Dave. The Tigers, it's Tarek Skubal Day. They will face the Athletics, who just broke ground on their new stadium there in Las Vegas. Can't wait to see opening day there in about 2 or 3 years. Tigers 8-0 on the money line with one day off. That is the best mark in baseball. Tigers also 7-1, covering the run line with a day off. They cover it by an average of 2.5 runs. Also, best mark in baseball. Okay. Rockies 0-8 on the money line with a day. You would think they'd be better. But they are the worst team in baseball with a day off. Also 2-6 covering the run line with a day off, and they are not covering it by almost 2 runs. So let's not reinvent the wheel here, Dave. We're going to do a Tigers who face the Athletics and a Dodgers who face the Rockies. We'll do a Tigers-Dodgers money line parlay. That's minus $1.14 right now, very affordable on DraftKings. And then the Tigers and Dodgers run line, so just 1.5. Here for Tigers Dodgers, that's plus $1.83. Does not seem far fetched here when you look at the Tigers, a $3 favorite on the money line against Luis Severino and the Athletics today. Oh my goodness. It just remarkable when you see some of these numbers. As we said yesterday, you get the large sample sizes and some of these numbers start to bear out what they do. Pretty crazy, Dave.
We mentioned that the Rockies are sitting at 9 wins for the month of June. Their total is amazing how good they are at these totals. 9.5 for the month of June. A great scene in Platoon right before the final big firefight. And comes up to Tom Berenger and the sergeant says, I got a bad feeling about this one, Bob. And, you know, the response from Behringer in cold-blooded fashion was, everybody got to die sometime, Red. I just worry that the Rocks are not going to make it out of this thing, man. I just got a bad feeling that they can't get one more over the line here before the end of the month. So let's see if somehow the Rockies can get you over that line of 9.5. But it's going to be a sweat. What about maybe for Cincinnati in a major league debut? Could we see something special today in the Natty?
Yeah, we will. Let's touch on one more thing here with the A's and the Tigers. I do think that we can really attack this game in multiple ways. So my theme here, Dave, is to run it up.
Ooh.
All right. And now we go back to our day off category. The totals here are mind-boggling in and of themselves. The Athletics, 7-0-1 to the over with a day off by almost 3 runs. They're clearing the over. Best mark in baseball. 7-1 are the Detroit Tigers to the over with a day off by an average of 3.3 runs, second best in MLB as far as just the over hitting there. So you have the top two teams to the over with a day off matching up against each other, and it's Luis Severino against Terry Skubal. You can get the over, the full game over, 7.5, right? It was at 7 overnight, so it's already ticked up a bit. Over 7.5 is plus $1.02.
Mm.
And if you want to jump in on the alternate total, if you want to buy down a little bit,
yeah,
it's $1.29 for the flat 7 if you don't want the hook with Tarek Skubal on the bump. So again, I think either number is playable. 7 and $1.29 and over 7.5 at plus $1.02. It's just crazy to see that some of these totals are what they are, and the trends, you know, are telling you, hey, man, this could get pretty lopsided.
I'm glad you brought up the alternate number now that it's moved up to 7.5. So the buyback to go back down, lay a little bit of that juice, it's under $1.30. I think I'd rather go that way, right, in case we do get a 4-3 or a 5-2 type scenario here with Skubal on the bump. Because, again, yeah, could Detroit get them all by themselves against Big Sev? They could. But, like, what's the realistic expectation for the Athletics to help out in that total, right? Is it two tops, Jensen, against a guy like Skubal?
It depends. I mean, you look at the last couple of starts here, and I'll bring up his game logs here real quickly, because as I was doing some research here on, all right, the numbers are what they are,
right,
but I'm sure that some of those games, you know, for the Athletics, they're not going up against the likes of a Tarek Skubal. So here you go. The last time that Tarek Skubal gave up more than 3 runs in a start, you have to go back to a home start against the Red Sox. He gave up 5 6⅓ on May 14th. The only other time he's given up more than 3 runs before that was opening day against the LA Dodgers. And again, you can kind of throw that out because it's the first start of the season.
Sure.
So only one time has Tarek Skubal allowed 4 or more. Now, run support wise, he's getting right around 5 runs, a tick over 5 runs of support per start. So just factor that in here. Yeah, I mean, Detroit might have to do most of the heavy lifting here, but it's definitely possible from what the numbers bear out.
I got so excited to skip ahead to the Reds after that win yesterday against the Bombers, and Nick Lodolo pitched pretty darn well, and the Reds are looking good. You know that gets me fired up here on a Tuesday, but I think that they really are anticipating what they might see today with the major league debut of Chase Burns here. Can you break down what you think you're going to see from the young fireballer against the Bombers?
Yeah, and again, it's the adrenaline part here that I'm anxious to see. Like, how does he handle, you know, the moment? And, you know, the stuff will be electric. I have no doubt about that. You looked yesterday at a total of 10. And, again, we played the over, felt that, you know, this thing would be back and forth. Al Winans looked good to start, and then the Reds offense got to him. You get Carlos Rodon on the hill opposite of Burns. So, again, just from a competitive juices standpoint, you're already going up against one of the better starters here in the American League. So we'll chase some heat here. We're going to be a fan. I want to see how he handles it. Now, if he comes out like Jacob Mizorowski did for the Brewers,
right,
then so be it. We kind of know where our compass leads us for his next start. Also, we'll go back to Tarek Skubal here. 6-0, .188 ERA at home, 8 starts. He's averaging, Dave, almost 14 strikeouts per 9 in his starts at Comerica Park. And I mentioned Carlos Rodon, 7 or more punchies in 6 of 7 road starts this year. Let's play conservatively, all right? We're going to buy down a little bit on a Skubal Rodon 6 or more strikeout parlay. It's still very affordable, $1.45 at DraftKings. And we'll bump it up to seven each for Rodon and Scooble. That's plus $1.54. I don't think we're reaching for the stars here. Again, it's about cash and tickets, as the Godfather would say. So I think this is the way to go. And I was thinking about, just for people that are wondering, Chase Burns over under for his strikeouts today.
I was wondering.
Is 4.5. Yeah, it's 4.5, and it's juiced to the over at $1.40. And that was kind of where I was at, Dave. Was like, okay, five strikeouts feels like you can get there. But the thing you always have trepidation about with a guy making his major league debut with that kind of stuff, could the command get a little wonky? And the Yankees are renowned for making young starters use a lot of pitches, go into a lot of deep counts. So that's why I just kind of wanted to stay away for a moment. If you want to play it, go right ahead. I think if you buy down on Chase Burns, I mean, three strikeouts is minus $9. So if you want to put him into the parlay, can he get three? I think he can. So if you want to add him in, again, it'll increase your odds a little bit more on our Scooble and Rodon parlays. But if you want to add him three or more strikeouts, I think that's fine to do as well.
You know, I already saw this yesterday from some of Reds Nation out there monitoring that situation. And they said, you got two outs in the first. Why are you pitching to Judge? And Lodolo gives up a bomb in the first. It's 1-0, right? Are we already to that stage that you get two outs in the – like, if you're young Chase today and you get the first – let's just hope you get the first two guys out. What do you do with Judge? Because you know those butterflies are going to be churning at that point. Whether there's guys on or not, it's still Aaron Judge in the box.
Way too early in a game to be, you know, pitching around a guy. Come right after him, young pup. You know, show your manager and Tito Francona, like, let's go. This is what they brought you up here to do. You're going to have to get these guys out at some point during a game. So why not pin your ears back, let the triple digits fly, and let's see if we can get some free air conditioning on a very, very humid night down at Great American Ballpark.
This is part of why this show works. We see things eye to eye on stuff like that. Let's go, kid. That's why they called you up, baby. Go after Aaron Judge. Take it to him. Ready to get in on the action for the ponies? Well, First Bet, they've got you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions. Bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races each and every day right from your phone and or your computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200. Score a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Do not miss out. Start betting those ponies today at firstbet.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some NFL football. How about some golf, people? And that's, of course, Matt Youmans coming up next year, and get his thoughts also on what we saw in the NBA Finals now that that has come to its conclusion. Come on back. It's VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. We always look forward to our Tuesday conversations with Matt Youmans. He's kind enough to get up and join us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. You can give him a follow at MattYumans247. Matt, we have so much to get to, not a ton of time, but I do want to hit on a bunch of different things. First, we got the NBA draft coming up here, and I'm wondering what angles you're looking at here and anything that your real big takeaways here from the NBA Finals now that OKC is going to raise a banner for the first time in their existence.
Yeah, OKC takes out the Pacers in seven. Would have been nice if Tyrese Halliburton didn't go down with the injury in the first quarter. We see how that game would have turned out. But again, when you look at the Thunder – and all the draft picks this franchise got, first-round draft picks, I think something like seven over the next 5 years. Just a ton of picks. But what's the weakness for OKC? Shooting. I think the Thunder really have to be looking for shooters because they've got depth. They've got athletes, really good defensive team. But the weakness was three-point shooting, and it was 33% for that team going into the finals. And that's one thing in this draft. I don't see a bunch of shooters in this NBA draft, but the Thunder have been really good at scouting, and they'll probably find one. I think that's one thing. If you say OKC needs a three-point shooting, where are you going to find it in this draft? It's not going to be easy. I do kind of like this draft. I just don't see the dead-eye shooters that the OKC needs. And one guy maybe I would take a look at is Walter Clayton, the point guard from Florida, who should be a top 20 pick. And I think that could be the type of player maybe that OKC looks at. You know, it's interesting. I'll follow this up quickly on the NBA draft. Vegas books are not putting up anything on this. The NBA draft doesn't have 10% of the buzz or wagering handle that you find in the NFL draft. Tim Murray and I will be doing an NBA draft show on Wednesday night. But the downside to that is there's just not going to be a lot of betting on this event. It's nothing like the NFL draft. And there's just not much drama or intrigue to it, not many betting options. And when you get right down to it, it looks like Cooper Flagg will be the number one pick. Dylan Harper from Rutgers is going to be the number two pick. And then there's a little mystery after that. But, you know, there's just not much wagering interest in this event. DraftKings has done a pretty good job, DraftKings FanDuel putting up props. But the Vegas books don't even really acknowledge this as an event.
Yeah, Maddie, it's again, they're having DraftKings having to do a who will be drafted first with some of these props here and exact on the number three pick, number four pick. So I completely agree with you. Hey, we get to see the number two overall pick from just a year ago in Major League Baseball make his big league debut tonight. Chase Burns ascends the mound here for the Cincinnati Reds to take on the Yankees. Reds getting the series opener. I was watching you and the Maestro yesterday talk about this game, and I feel like you backed the Reds, a great spot to do it. You going back to the well here tonight with the rookie right-hander on the mound?
You know, I wish I could say I bet the Reds yesterday. I chickened out. It was plus 112. And I like the Reds in that spot. I thought they were going to hit the Yankees' first-time starter yesterday, and they did. Ellie De La Cruz with a big game. I should have bet the Reds. I chickened out. They're 11-5 in the last 16, by the way, a hot team here. So my question was going to be for you. I wanted to see if you could talk me into the Reds or not, because Carlos Rodon, a favorite, right around minus 160. And Chase Burns, like you said, number two pick, MLB debut. He's got a live fastball right around 97. He can hit triple digits. He's got a good slider, a decent changeup. How do you think he's going to handle this Yankees lineup and all the nerves he's going to deal with in his major league debut tonight? Do you think the Reds are worth the play as home dogs?
Yeah, and even if you wanted to look at the run line, too, if you wanted to get a run and a half there for the Reds, Maddie, I think that's also a conservative play you can go for. And it's really not, you know, unaffordable at $1.20, I think, at Circa right now. Dave and I just talked to our Daily Diamond that if you wanted to add him, and again, his strikeout prop is 4.5, and always for debuts, right, that's what I want to stay away from, especially with high-octane guys, is that if the command kind of goes away from you, they're going to be really conservative with his pitch count anyway, and parlay that with the Yankees traditionally being very patient with young starters and trying to kind of feel them out a little bit and make them work. So it's a stay away spot for any Burns props, but I will be locked in, and I feel that he will meet the moment in what is going to be a really great pitching matchup.
Man, I'm wondering. Go ahead, Dave. I was just going to ask you, I'm curious if you, because Jensen and I talk about this every day. You know, we're not even to the halfway point of the season, right? And I look at all the divisions out of the six divisions, with the exception of the Tigers with an 8.5 game lead, every other division is within 4.5. Like, do you think we're going to get some changing second halves here, trade deadline thing? Do you look into the futures market and think, all right, all these favorites right now, first place teams, are not going to stay in their current positions? Do you look that far down the board, if you will?
Always are changes in baseball, right, in the second half of the season. And it's usually two divisions. You just got to figure out where it's going to happen. You know, I said yesterday, I still think the Braves can make a run. And I know you look at the standings now and say, well, I don't know, the Phillies have such a commanding lead. Things can change in a hurry in baseball. You know, things can change over the course of a month, over 6 weeks. I'm not saying the Braves are going to track down the Phillies and win the division, but I still think they could be a playoff team. And, I'm just trying to figure out where that's going to happen. It looks like the Cubs are going to win the division. I don't know where those teams are. They're going to come from behind and win. But I imagine Jensen Lewis has a pretty good idea of maybe who you should play. Because, hey, I don't think the Yankees are going to win the American League East. Ooh. I don't. I would actually, today, I would say if the most likely team that's not in first place today to finish in first, I'd say might be the Tampa Bay Rays.
Wow.
Wow. Maddie, it's funny you bring that up because Dave and I a couple weeks ago did an exercise in most regular season wins, and you could have gotten the Tampa Bay Rays around like 250-1, 400-1 to be able to have the most overall wins in Major League Baseball. Hey, speaking of great divisions, the AFC West, I know you you and everyone else are doing a great job getting the betting guide ready for pro football season. Give us a little teaser here on the AFC West and what you see in that division.
Well, I think it's the best division in football, top to bottom. I know a lot of people will say the NFC North with what happened last season with the Lions, the Vikings, the Packers. The top three teams in the AFC West last season won 36 regular season games. Second best in the NFL behind the North with 40, but the North bombed in the playoffs. All those teams got knocked out without winning a game. You look at the AFC West, Chiefs are odds-on favorites, minus 122. That's way down from last year at this time. It was minus 225. So you see things are tightening up. Kansas City, here's something that I found really interesting when researching. I was writing this division for the NFL betting guide for VSiN. Kansas City scored 31 points or more in only four of its 41 games the past two seasons, only once in 20 games last season. You know, you think about that offense and you think Patrick Mahomes and big plays, not the case. His average depth of target was the second shortest of his career last year. Chiefs are not putting up big numbers. And to only score more than 31 one time last season, I think would surprise a lot of people. And by the way, that was 32 in the playoff win against the Bills. Here's the team to watch out for. I talked about this on the show yesterday with Mike Palm. The Denver Broncos.
Oh.
The Denver defense led the league in sacks with 63 last season, ranked third in scoring, 18.3 points per game, and the Denver defense is stronger on paper right now than it was a year ago. I like the Broncos over 9.5 wins at plus 110 at Circa. Also, the Broncos win the AFC West. That price is down from plus 425 to plus 350. But the Broncos are a team on the rise. Do you believe in Bo Nix? That's the question you got to answer, right? Sometimes these quarterbacks who look so good as a rookie can slump a little bit as sophomores. We saw it in Houston last season. I still think Sean Payton's got a lot of weapons and a really strong offensive line in front of Bo Nix, so he should be fine. The Denver defense, I think it's what's going to win that division. Don't forget, Super Dave, I'm sure you remember last year, the Chiefs won three games in the division by exactly 2 points. They did not dominate that division. Remember, they beat the Raiders by two.
Oh, yeah.
The Broncos by two on a blocked field goal. The Chargers by two. This gap has closed in the AFC West. And even though the Chiefs have won nine straight division titles, I think this is a year a team like the Broncos can overtake them. I do like the Broncos. The year ago at this time, I liked the Chargers quite a bit. I like the Broncos a little bit better right now.
It's almost like Sean Payton knows what he's doing. Hey, we got to wrap it up here in 30 seconds. Going up to Detroit for some golf this week. Are you still basking in the glow of Captain America Keegan Bradley getting you that 35-1 ticket last week?
I needed that after a horrendous U.S. Open the previous week. So Keegan Bradley gave me the bailout. It was nice to hit somebody. How about the comeback by Keegan Bradley? We don't have time to talk about it. That's incredible what he did to come back and beat poor Tommy Fleetwood at the end of that tournament. I think Keegan Bradley's got to be on the Ryder Cup team, Dave.
Yes, he's got to be on the team, Keegan. And you're actually helping America by putting yourself on the team. Matt helps you out every night as bettors here, so check him out. VSiN Primetime, always appreciate his time as well. Come on back. We're going to get some more NFL talk with the Panthers next here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Enjoyed that conversation with Matt Eumanns in the last segment, Jensen, and we were talking a little Captain America, Keegan Bradley there at the end. And again, you know, you and I were talking about it, how we kind of thought a great idea would be, hey, if Keegs is going to play in the Ryder Cup team, by the way, Team USA, about $1.50 betting favorite here against Europe coming up here in September. And it does feel like there is so much momentum for this Ryder Cup. And again, I know I'm biased how much I love the event anyway, and I know it's going to be the NFL season, and we're going to forget about it for a little bit. It it's going to be one of the best sporting events. Forget about golf. It's going to be one of the best sporting events on the calendar year this year. Could I interest you right now on Tommy Fleetwood? I know he's in the no-fly zone. To win the British Open, to go over to Portrush, where it's going to be a home game, right? I know it's Ireland, it's not England, but still, they're not going to be chanting USA, USA. Could we look at backing Tommy Fleetwood when he's not on American soil?
You just want to choose violence today with me.
I was with you on the Fleets coming second.
All right, I have a $50 bonus bet on DraftKings. Ooh. I guess I could throw that in at 25-1.
I mean, it's not a bad number for a guy that's playing great golf. He just can't get over the line in the States.
But that to me is, I would rather have a guy I know that can close and is at least, and not to say that Tommy Fleetwood didn't go for it. He did. But yeah, this is why it makes you gun shy as a better.
It does.
When you get burned like this. And it's the way that he lost, more so than the way that Keegan came back to win, that gives me more fear than anything.
I will just say this, and we're to break down the Rocket Mortgage here coming up this week later on in the program. Of course, we're going to have Wednesdays with Wes tomorrow with Wes Reynolds, and we'll get to more of this. But I'm the gun-shy nature of a gambler after you've been burned and you put your hand on the stove too many times with certain golfers. We'll get to that, too, because there might be another one of those issues this week coming up in Detroit. Before those lines move, check out our friends over at sharpplays.com. They're going to help you. You don't have to worry about chasing the market. They're going to move it for you. They've got cutting-edge AI technology, trusted insider sources, delivering that edge that serious bettors rely on. You're going to get free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, all delivered right to your email and or X. They're not a startup. They've been around the block since 2011. Sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at sharpplays.com. Also, great convo with Matt. And again, cannot emphasize this enough. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you need to be. So the betting guide coming out next week. And Matt did a great job breaking down the AFC West. I wanted to talk a little bit about that NFC South today, and specifically the Panthers. And again, when the betting guide comes out, a lot of our experts here in the network, I do think this is a team that a lot of people have got their eye on this year, and that maybe the division is one that you don't trust overly. I know that the Buccaneers right now are kind of running the roost here the last couple of years. Even with Brady retired, they're still winning the divisions here with Baker Mayfield. They're the favorites at even money to do so again. But the Panthers win total for 7.5, you can get plus money. If this is an 8-win football team this year, you want to play the under? You can get you'd have to lay $1.70 for under 7.5 to get over 6.5 wins. You got to lay a little juice there, $1.35. So these are those adjusted win totals we talk about. And if you want to really get conservative and lay 280 that they get at least 6 wins, do that at your own peril. I asked Jeff Schwartz yesterday on wherever you get your podcast, the GM Shuffle, about, as Jeff, a former offensive lineman, Jensen in the league, as you well know, what is Dave Canales doing with that offense, and specifically the guys up front, to make life a little bit easier for Bryce?
One is, you have to build an offensive line to help a smaller quarterback. And the Panthers did that. So what do you do? And New Orleans did this as well with Jari Evans and Carl Nix and some of the Max Unger they had at center for a while. And you need to have big guards, like big old guys. And you think, oh, well, how do quarterbacks see with a big guard? The reason why they see is those big guys keep the pocket, the front of the pocket, very firm, right? They don't back up. They're just big in the middle. And when you're big in the middle, let's just say this, the middle guys, the tackles then have the width of the pocket essentially, right? Quarterback can step up and see things, right? When guys get pushed into him, he can't see. So the Panthers went ahead and got themselves, what, Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt and Austin Corb. Like, they got Chandler Sevilla, like, they got big offensive linemen to help the quarterback with his throwing angle, with his throwing angle. It has to be done. Has to be done. And then, of course, you can design an offense around all of that, right? By moving the quarterback out of the pocket a little bit, by changing the launch point, by doing different things to just get him, not have to just stand in the pocket the entire game.
See, this is why I love talking to you. It was literally about, like, you know, breaking down the mentality of, say, a closer in Major League Baseball, what you're trying to do, and Jeff as an offensive lineman, what the Panthers are really trying to do with a smallish quarterback here, Jensen, right? So Canales had success as the Baker Whisperer. That's what he's credited with, right, of kind of getting him going in Tampa. Then he goes to Carolina. And if we're being honest, there's a lot of similarities between Bryce and Baker, at least stature-wise, right? Not the biggest of guys, both mobile. But what do you make of that, that the offensive line now is almost tailored to what skills Bryce Young was able to show as a Heisman Trophy winner in Alabama? Is this a reason why you can make a play on the Panthers this year?
Yeah, the 6.5, the over, is exactly what I went to. And then also even over the 7.5 at plus $1.50. And a big reason why, you have some more certainty in aspects of the club that you didn't at this point last year. Okay, so now we know that Chuba Hubbard is as established a horse running back there with reinforcements. Your old friend Rico Dowdle there from Dallas. Also, you get Trevor Etienne that will be there as some more depth in that running back room. As we know, it's one of those positions you must be able to have at least two reliable resources, if not three certainties. The other one is getting Tet McMillan, right, in the draft. And now opposite Xavier Leggett, what a bounce back here from Adam Thielen. And, you know, hey, whatever they get out of the tight ends there and Tommy Tremble, Jatavion Sanders, we'll see. By and large, you now have an offense, we would assume, with what they finished with last year, 4-5 in their last 9, so very competitive. You would have believed that another year of continuity together, plus the additional weaponry, especially in the outside, allows Bryce Young to do more things he's been comfortable with. And also, if that defense gets an uptick, I think that's also part of the conversation here, Dave, is, you know, they really struggle defensively to stop some teams, and that forced Bryce Young into a lot of those comeback scenarios. Imagine this group playing from ahead, and to kind of go with where Jeff was with that offensive line. Imagine what this offensive line with a lead can do with that running back group, and also the ability to convert more third and manageables with another big-time weapon in McMillan on the outside. I think the Panthers very viable here, and that's why I said 6.5, the over, was exactly where I went. And then as a nice backup option, I think the 7.5 over at plus $1.50, absolutely worth a play too.
I think if we're looking at that 7.5 adjusted win total at plus money, plus $1.50, and that's right here at Circa, then you probably should look 4-1 to win the division, right? I don't think, like, you hate to get on a team when they get too public. I don't think they're too public yet. I do think sharps like Carolina, and they've really been looking at this team when these win totals came out. Is that still a playable number for you as the third betting choice in the division?
Sure. If nothing else, in looking at their schedule too, right? You and I, one of the first numbers we looked at outside, of course, Dallas and Philadelphia, was Carolina.
Yes.
What were they getting? 3, maybe 3.5 in some spots. Those are long gone now. 2.5 at DraftKings here for week 1 on the road in Jacksonville. But honestly, Dave, you can make a compelling argument here that if you like, you know, where Carolina is, find a teaser spot for them in week 1.
Yes.
I know we're way out here, but why not get Carolina up to 8.5 and find, you know, another spot that you're comfortable with there? I think that's very, very playable with what we have seen thus far.
But no, I think that's a great angle right now, because if that number keeps dropping, you're extracting the value out of that 6-point tease. So before it drops too much, I'm right there with it. Still, those are the key numbers we talk about here, teasing through 8.5 for you if you want to get a two-way 6-point teaser in there. I think it's a really smart move now while you still have the opportunity to grab 8.5. You got to find that dance partner, though. That's going to be the tricky part there. But I love where your head's at. And again, I will be playing that football team. I will be playing that over this year, that adjusted win total at plus $1.50. Not in pocket yet, but we'll be getting there, because I really like the makeup of that offense, as you broke it down, Jensen. If you want to bet smarter this football season, we cannot stress this enough. It's coming out next month. Yes, it's the NFL Betting Guide. It's a massive, I mean massive, resource to have at your disposal. People ask, like, why do you do what you do? We do this to help you win bets. That's what the whole point of the network is. And this early bird special right now for $175, that's going to help you out immensely. So again, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe. Not only do you get the NFL Betting Guide, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, all the access so you never miss a beat with the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools, they're all there for you. And again, this deal for $175 runs all the way through the Super Bowl next year, people. It's a great deal. It's a great value. Get it now at VSiN.com/subscribe.